Certain species can be very aggressive. If they run out of food in their area, they're going to look for zombie takeout any way they can. What's up? Welcome to episode 212 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, you actually got to see Nothing Lasts Forever last week.
Yes. Oh, man, I was so bummed when you gave me the news. Okay. This is one hell of a head trip. Because when I first started watching it, I thought we had the wrong movie because they made it look like it was made in the 1930s.
Yeah, it's all black and white.
No, it's not just that it's black and white. They used 1930s special effects.
Oh, wow.
So, like, the model of the globe in the beginning with the airplane obviously wired to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they used everything as if they were filming the movie in the 1930s.
Nice.
And they even switched to color in a few parts. So they totally went Wizard of Oz.
Nice.
And I'm not a conspiracy nut, but this movie said too much.
Ah, okay.
I mean, even if what they were saying isn't true, even if you don't believe in what they are saying, the fact that they said it was too much to get people thinking about what they were saying. 'Cause let's just say I don't recall anybody in the early 80s ever suggesting that the moon landing could be fake.
Wow, no, that was much later that that whole thing started.
But they damn well hint at it, that it's just a sound stage where they're training people to be consumers. Yeah, there's this whole crazy anti-consumerism message that turns out to be not so crazy in the end, really, seeing this 30 years later.
Yeah.
And there's like a secret society that really controls, you know, everything that's going on, that lives underground. Yeah, so you could, I mean, at first I thought, because one of the YouTube comments was, actually, the person that posted it says, you know, you don't have to think too hard to see why they didn't, you know, they wouldn't let this movie be released. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yeah, right, whatever. This is another stupid, what was that, Room 237 or whatever movie that was, which is just batshit crazy stuff. But as I watched, I was like, what is he talking about? And then when it got to the underground society and the faked moon, you know, they take a bus ride to the moon is what they do.
That was the album art. It was the bus on the moon.
That is how they get to the moon.
And I'm guessing it wasn't a flying bus.
Oh, well, they do, like, it goes into space.
Oh, okay, they do actually go to the actual moon, not the soundstage.
Yeah, okay. But you're on the moon, and then you leave the set that is, quote-unquote, the moon. So it's not really hard to see what they're saying, that it's fake.
Okay.
And it's, yeah, they're training them to be better consumers, with Bill Murray screaming for them to buy. So
if this one makes its way back to YouTube, which it most likely will, you would definitely recommend seeing it.
Hell yes. Right. Hell yes. It's just, it's mesmerizing. That's like the only word I could think of it. I was like, this is probably one of the weirdest movies we've done. Oh. And we didn't get to do it.
Definitely got to see that. Hopefully we'll have another chance. I'll have to acquire a copy if it makes it back there.
Small cameo by Larry Bud Melman.
Oh, wow.
In the scene with Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Murray is only in it for like three scenes, I think.
Yeah, they were basically cameos, and Aykroyd, from what I understand.
Well, Murray has a bit more meat to his role. Aykroyd is just, you know, the rules and regulation guy, of course, as he always plays. And Bill Murray is kind of like the tour guide stewardess of, you know, to the moon.
Nice. All right, so on to some listener submitted. This was posted by Gabe McBride on our Facebook page. He said, "Okay, guys, love the show, but I am about to throw an internet hissy fit, something I've managed to avoid all these years, but Blue Velvet is one of my all-time faves. Here
How
goes.
How did we do this?
Here goes. Blue Velvet does not take place in the 50s. If you look at the cars in the movie, they almost all are from the 70s or later. If anything, the movie takes place out of time. That represents David Lynch's idea of Americana. I think that unlike a lot of Hollywood movie makers, Lynch idealizes middle America, while remaining fascinated with the dark forces that live beneath the surface. Kind of the whole point of the movie, the dark forces beneath the surface.
Right.
He manages to avoid much of the cliches and tropes associated with the suburban lives of quiet desperation and repression prevalent in the melodramas of Douglas Sirk and even more recent films like Pleasantville. He explored similar themes in Twin Peaks, too. My point is, any perceived anachronism is meant to be there, and was not accidental. Also, I found this guy's IMDb page dedicated to the cars of Blue Velvet, so there's that. Now, I wasn't sure about the whole 50s thing. I kind of went along with you because I couldn't think of a good argument. I took one look at that IMDb page and damn near fell out of my chair laughing at how obviously it wasn't 50s.
Yeah, but there's clothes. Come
Well, the clothes are very 50s, especially Sandy, I think was her name, Laura Dern's
Yeah.
character. And the scenery picks her up from school, very 50s.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But if you look at that page with all of the cars, and I'll link to it, it is hilariously obvious that they were much more modern than we thought.
Well, I think his theory about it being out of time, it makes the most sense that I've heard of anything. But of course, how the hell are we supposed to know that? I mean, I love that he created this other universe and stuff. And I don't even know if it needed to, give us a clue that that's what happened. I kind of like it that there's, something to debate over it. But it's like, dude, we recommended the movie.
Oh yeah, we didn't bash it. He was just irritated by that one. He's nitpicking, and I would nitpick a review of something that I loved that got something obviously wrong. So I can't criticize him for it.
You can't blame us for missing it, though. If he obviously set costumes from the 1950s
Yeah.
and, other scenes directly from the 1950s, the guy, the intro with the fire truck, I think it was.
Also, and I didn't research this, I'm not sure, but I don't think Heineken was around in the 50s, and there's a big scene referencing Heineken, in fact,
Was there a scene recommending Heineken
that we used
in
it
that? Okay. Now you've made me bring out the internet.
for the intro.
When did Heineken reach? Heineken had to have been.
I didn't hear about it till the 80s.
Well, you wouldn't have been paying attention to beers in the 1970s.
I was watching a lot of TV, and I saw ads, and I have older siblings.
Very true. Very true. I mean, it had to have been around.
Maybe the 70s, I would say, possibly. I don't even think it was back to the late 60s.
Founded in 1864.
Well, when was it imported over here, though?
Oh.
Was it sold over here?
Okay. The Americas.
Because it was big in the 80s.
I don't think it says.
Well, if anyone out there knows when it was, first imported over here, let us know. All right, and on to some news. First story from firstshowing.net. Kevin Smith mentions minor details about upcoming horror trilogy. At his annual Comic-Con panel in San Diego this year, Kevin Smith revealed the first official trailer for his wacky new horror film Tusk, about a guy who wants to make another guy into a walrus. I posted it on our Facebook page if you haven't seen it. During the panel's Q&A with the audience, a very young girl came up to the microphone and asked him if he would ever make a movie, asked him if he would ever make movies that weren't R-rated. His only PG film so far is Jersey Girl, but he went on to say that he's actually working on an entire trilogy of horror films called the True North Trilogy, referencing their Canadian setting. We know about two, but not much about the other. The first film in Kevin Smith's new horror trilogy is Tusk, of course, and it will be rated R. Just watch the trailer if you're wondering why. The second film will be called Yoga Hosers, we talked about this last time,
Yeah.
and is apparently a Tusk spin-off that will star the same Tusk cast, and this one is going for a PG-13 rating. It's about two characters in a convenience store in Tusk that you see for 5 minutes, who end up getting an entire movie, and the leads are two 15-year-old girls. He hinted that they have some kind of special power or weapons that he couldn't reveal, because he will be run out of the country once it does get revealed. Lastly, the third film is something that we have only heard mentioned before, once that he described simply as Moose Jaws. Basically, it will be Jaws, but with a moose. This is a horror trilogy inspired by Canadian learned history, of course. He said that there's a scene that is pretty much a moose just grabbing kids right out of a lake or something like that. And apparently
Nice.
this will be the film for kids.
Ah.
That or it will be a film to scare the crap out of kids. Not many other details were revealed as he's currently in the middle of writing the script that will wrap up the trilogy.
Now, he if Jersey Girl was PG
PG-13, I believe.
or PG-13, why would you encourage him to make another non-R-rated movie?
Yeah. Well, it was a kid saying this, and she, I guess, wants to see his movies. Maybe older siblings have shown her some of the others.
Wait till you're fucking old enough to see the movie, kid.
Yeah. Although, I don't know. Did you see the trailer for Tusk?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Looks really disturbing and really interesting. Yoga hosers, I'm not that intrigued. I would like to know what the weapon is and why we'll be run out of the country for it. But I'm not
Just
very
the
hopeful.
title, for the title alone, I think it's worth the price of admission. Are you kidding me?
But Moose Jaws.
Moose Jaws.
Jaws with a moose. This I have to see. And it's the PG movie. It's the one for kids, but this I have to see. Attacking kids in a lake, just pulling them out. A moose.
I wonder if he's going to get John Williams to score it.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
And one more story. This is from JoeBlow.com.
Oh, nice.
Groovy, Bruce Campbell confirms plans to star in Evil Dead TV series. At Comic-Con, it was announced that Sam Raimi was developing a television series based on his Evil Dead franchise alongside his brother Ivan and Ash himself, Bruce Campbell. Now Campbell has taken to Twitter to answer a fan's concern about his involvement, sharing that the plan is for Campbell to star in the series. In response to a fan who tweeted, "Only if Groovy Bruce," that's his Twitter handle, "is the star of the new TV series, will I accept?" Campbell responded with, "That's the plan."
Nice.
So he's going to star in a series. I'm hoping he's not going to be Ash the action hero that he was in the original movies, because he's getting up there. I can see him as kind of the Yoda character to a new Ash.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'd be game to see him Ash the action guy still. I know how old he is and stuff, but
Well, he's got to have a little bit of action of, he needs to use the boomstick now and then, but I don't want to see, him trying to run around and fight demons every week. I'd rather have someone younger doing that and him just being the crotchety old guy, who tells him what he's doing wrong.
oh, and aside, I just remembered a title that I didn't write down.
Okay.
This is my trim stick.
My. And on that, let's just get to this week's movie, which is from 2014, Blood Lake: Attack of the Killer Lampreys. And of course, the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Remoras. When are they getting their own movies? I mean, we've seen piranhas and leeches and now lampreys. It's only a matter of time.
And also brought to you by Weed Whackers. When you absolutely positively have to kill every last motherfucker in the yard, accept no substitutes. So, well, we have a nice lake town, and there are these eels that have I don't want to even attempt to say lampreys all the time. I'm just going to call them fucking eels.
Well, technically, they're not eels, which is one of the things I liked about the movie. They did point that out.
They did point that out. And although I think eels actually might be scarier, because I mean, have you ever
They're ugly.
tried to handle an eel?
Well, I've never touched them, but I've seen them, and they're ugly.
Oh, they are nasty motherfuckers. They are nasty, nasty motherfuckers. Hard to kill too, believe me. And even when you throw them in the pan, they're still fucking squirming. But anyway. These lampreys have invaded this pond, or yeah, I guess it's just a
The
little lake
lake.
at this point. And
It is Michigan, so they've got that big one.
yes, you're always just a few minutes from. They point out at the beginning, you're always just a little bit, like
Six minutes, I think they said.
6 minutes away from a lake somewhere in Michigan, and yeah, some really nice stuff on the west coast of Michigan too. And it's just one of those towns where they're fighting for the tourism and everything. And they begin the movie, though, There's no easing us into this. There's no, whoo, wow, there's a lot here. It's they kill a motherfucker at the top of the movie. He disappears. They're not quite sure where he went. I don't know why they couldn't find him. Why they couldn't, take a search for him and find him right away. If they devoured the body in total, I don't know, like, what that was about. He was just on the beach the whole time.
They do show him at the end, or towards
Yes,
the
they
end.
do.
The bodies weren't devoured, which would be a little insane for these little lampreys to
Right,
devour a body.
exactly.
They just suck the blood out.
Yeah.
And then somehow burrow in, which we'll get to.
So for some reason, no one went and looked for him.
Yeah.
He was just lying on this beach the whole fucking time. And everybody for they said for like a week or two, we have not seen him. Where is he? Like a little missing poster up and everything in the background.
And wasn't he the like brother-in-law of one of the fish and wildlife guys too?
Yes. Yes. So, it just they get more and more aggressive. They climb in more and more of them into the lake. They're climbing up a wall to get up a dam to get
Yeah.
into the lake.
They walk on land a lot.
They're walking on land, and they just start killing shit. Meanwhile, the really only form of subplot here, because there really isn't a plot. There's more just like the subplot. Is this fish and wildlife guy has whisked his family away from wherever they're from to come up to this town in Michigan to handle the problem. And when he sees he's overmatched, does he call in any backup?
No.
No. Why would you do that? He just instead pleads for help from the mayor to shut shit down and pretty much takes no for an answer. And
The mayor being the, I will say, lone highlight of the film. Played by the great Christopher Lloyd.
yes, so the mayor actually fires him because despite several people dying, he's telling people to stay out of the water and to stay away from the town. And when the
Not really
mayor,
doing good for tourism.
right, not doing good for tourism. But neither is coming out of a lake covered with
Right.
fish
Right.
blood, either. And then, of course, he orders the evacuation, and they hatch a plan to kill them all in one stroke, of course, and hilarity ensues.
I'm glad you handle the plot summaries because I wouldn't have remembered half of that. Now, to just get into the whole lamprey thing. Because I've always heard lamprey, but they say lamprey in the movie.
How often do we come across this shit? Come on.
I looked it up. Lamprey is the American pronunciation. Lamprey is the British pronunciation. So why in Michigan would they be using the British pronunciation? I'm guessing the director is British or something.
Yeah, maybe. In fact, maybe that was the director that played the scientist that he was Skyping
Possibly.
with.
Although I still think he was Australian, but whatever.
that's true. You know what? I didn't really pay much attention to his part.
Now, when the movie started, I noticed the asylum logo come up, and I was actually pleasantly surprised because I figured this would be a knockoff. This was not made for SIFI, by the way.
You're right.
It was made for Animal Planet.
Which is the bat shittiest, craziest thing ever. Like, why would Animal Planet want this?
Apparently they've taken a turn, because they used to be a very respectable channel about various animal related topics. Apparently
Factual.
they've gone all SIFI. I'm just waiting for them to start showing gator wrestling.
Right. Like, what? I don't understand. I don't understand that Animal Planet. I mean, you can get enough viewers from like regular animal shows because
Yeah.
there's so many people that are just so animal crazy
Right.
to do a fake a very, very fictionalized version of really it's they took like the Asian carp story. I don't know if how familiar you are with that.
No.
But in this part in Illinois, the other side of Lake Michigan, on the rivers here, They have been overrun with Asian carp, which aren't native to the area.
And thus a huge ecological issue.
Right. Like, I don't, if you've seen some of these shows, they'll take like the boats with like a, they'll put a little bit of electric charge into the water as the boat's going by, because they'll force them to jump out of the water just to see how many are in the river, and it's this like there's just hundreds, if not thousands of them, just jumping everywhere, and the scientists just going, "What the fuck are we going to do about this?"
So this
And
is probably based on that situation.
it is definitely based on that. It's just the other side of Lake Michigan, because the big worry is that they're going to go through the Chicago River, through the canal, into Lake Michigan, and just fucking tear the whole lake up.
Right. If a non-native species gets into an area anywhere, it can be a major issue. The Simpsons played with that when Bart brought the frog to Australia.
Right. So they're, I mean, this has been a federal issue, like Congress, because, you know, other states, Wisconsin, Michigan, other Great Lakes states, are pleading with Illinois to cut off the Chicago River from Lake Michigan, which wasn't naturally connected to them. We had to build the canal to connect the two together for shipping purposes, actually sewage purposes too. You can reverse the flow of the river.
See, I thought this was just a knockoff of Piranha 3D because it's a very similar story.
Right. And yeah, I thought that's what we were going to get too, and I'm like, wait, this is the Asian carp story. They're using this.
I think an actual documentary about the situation would have been really interesting. Instead, we get
Not as
this.
interesting as fish, as lampreys that lie around and then jump around.
Yeah, when you see them actually walking on land, back to the movie,
Okay.
to attack the sanitation worker in the beginning, I kind of thought, okay, I'm in for a good time. And I should mention that there is a very memorable scene in a bathroom in the movie. That's how I found out about the movie. Jen Miller and I were talking, and she mentioned that that scene is shown on The Soup a lot.
I actually caught an episode of The Soup, like the first one I've caught in God knows how long, and they were counting down like the best of the year so far, and that made it on there. And
Okay.
I was just like, oh, that's weird. I didn't like catch the name of the movie or anything. But when I saw Christopher Lloyd, I knew what we were in for.
She described the scene, and I immediately had to take to Google to find out the name of the movie. First looked up the scene, and right then I knew we had to review it, of course. This is made for us. I wish I could say that it was as good as previous Asylum movies, though. And I have in my notes, it's basically a TV-friendly version of Piranha 3D. And
Right.
for a while I was thinking, that's the problem. It's a TV-friendly Asylum movie. But then I realized, no, all of their sci-fi stuff is TV-friendly, and I've enjoyed them.
Right.
I think Animal Planet may have leashed them a bit. I think maybe they were trying to get a legit good movie because the cast is better than usual in this
Right.
one.
The cast is better than normal, but the creatures are they're just crazier
Well,
than anything they've
yeah.
ever done.
Well, not counting Sharktopus, of course.
I think this is crazier than Sharktopus, because these worms are just lying around, or just, you know, being reverse piles of shit, and then they're killing, they're jumping on people and sucking blood.
And they fly. They can apparently breathe on land for extended periods of time, possibly days.
Right.
They can walk. Well, they kind of walk with their mouth and their tail somehow. I'm not sure how that works.
I
Also,
don't know either.
they climb a cement wall with their suckers.
Yeah.
With their mouths. And I don't know if they actually use suction or just all of their, they have like hundreds of teeth. I think that's how they attach, is all of those teeth.
I thought there was suction
Maybe
involved.
suction. Apparently, if it's suction, then that makes sense to climbing the wall, or as much sense as anything in this movie. If it's the teeth, then their teeth are going through cement, which is, I don't think that's possible.
Well, neither is having like a body in like a jacuzzi attacked or dead with absolutely no blood.
Now, well, there's one character in the movie I was happy to see die. Fred Stoller's character.
Oh, is that like the Ray Romano guy?
Fred Stoller was doing it before Ray Romano, but yeah.
I think like they had him play like his a cousin of his or something.
It's just the same shtick. Fred Stoller's a
Yeah.
bit more annoying. He was really annoying in this one, so I was glad to see him die.
Oh, it was an obvious paycheck.
Yeah. As was the case with Christopher Lloyd. He's in like three scenes. He probably worked 2 days.
Was it just three?
He was like three or four scenes.
Yeah, it felt like, yeah, maybe you're right.
Maybe four. That was it. It was the
Yeah.
initial scene when he talked to the Fish and Wildlife guy. There was a scene in his office. There was the death scene. That's it. And spoiler, Christopher Lloyd's character dies.
And then the scene where he goes out into the woods to fire him.
Oh, okay, so there's
So yeah,
probably
four.
four, maybe five. Still, 2 days of work and a
Yeah.
paycheck.
Oh, definitely. These movies, if they take a week to film this, that would be miraculous in itself. What don't you think? Any of these
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
asylum
Asylum's
movies.
whole deal is they come in as fast and cheap as possible.
Yeah.
Although, I normally enjoy that, but this time, maybe 25 minutes in, I was kind of rooting for the Lampreys.
Well, of course.
Everyone was just, I mean, Christopher Lloyd accepted, was just so boring. That's the problem with the good cast, is because they weren't a really good cast, and they weren't the normal Asylum cast, so they could act, but they weren't particularly interesting.
I would actually say the worst actor in the bunch was the one of the deputies, the woman.
Interesting, because aside from Christopher Lloyd and Fred Stoller, she's the only other actor I had heard of in the movie. Rachel True, she was in The Craft and Half-Baked.
Yeah, she was
Yeah.
just paycheck.
Yeah, absolutely. And her death scene was the other interesting part of the movie, I thought. I enjoyed her death scene.
Her death scene is the funniest damn thing
Yeah.
in this film.
Well, it's a tough call between hers and Lloyd's.
Yeah, I mean, well, Lloyd's, you have, just the manner that Lloyd's happened.
Yeah.
But what was funny about hers was why couldn't they have
Yeah.
saved her?
And why couldn't she just roll up the other window?
Why are they just standing there? Oh, we can't do it. It's too late.
Basically, her truck is surrounded by lampreys walking on land and breathing air, and a couple of them jump in the window, and then she struggles to roll up her driver's side window, and then apparently they start jumping in the other side, and then she doesn't even try to roll that one up. She just starts screaming. And they use the same shot of her screaming about four times from outside the truck when you see two or three of them on the windshield.
And the heroes make it there. They get out of the tr their truck. They watch. They listen to her scream, and one holds the other one back because the other one's thinking of doing making a move for it.
Because
But
I
then
think they
no.
were together or something. I don't know. They kind of hinted at that at
It
one
is
point.
too late. It's too late. You cannot do. They're fucking just heels, man. Why can't you just stomp them?
A big shovel would have taken care of it, yeah. It's not like they were
Right.
fast.
None of them have a gun?
Well, shooting them could be difficult. You're shooting at asphalt ricochets, and they're, small. But a shovel.
Shovel, anything. Your boots.
Yeah.
And then to top it off, though, the whole thing. Whereas there's this whole swarm of them, and when they first shot it, they had pulled right up to the back of her truck. And then when they put the camera back, there's suddenly this great distance between the two trucks.
Continuity was not a concern in this film.
And then, they're just showing this swarm of them, and these things that are supposed to be so bloodthirsty that they'll go after anything, even someone in a truck, they don't even have it show any interest in the two guys who slowly get back into their trucks,
Yeah.
sigh in despair,
While the lamprey just attack the one person en masse.
and then buckle their seat belts and slowly drive away.
They waste a lot of time in this movie. There's this whole scene where a kid is like playing with a dog for about 10 minutes before we find out about the blood in the water.
That whole sequence, though, had me just dying. That was definitely like the funniest thing I've seen Asylum ever do. Hands down.
Oh, another point where they really ripped off Piranha 3D. Actually, more Piranha 3 Double D in this case. When Rich, Fred Stoller's character, dies,
Yeah.
apparently a few of them stow away onto land inside of him,
Yes.
which was straight out of Piranha 3 Double D. The one swims inside the girl, ends up stowing away onto land. That's how they get on land. Oh, and okay, just moving toward the end a bit, when the daughter sneaks out to be with the guy, and they get attacked, she starts screaming, and the mom, Shannon Doherty plays her mother, by the way.
Yeah.
Apparently they like digging up 90210 stars.
And if one of the lampreys had just turned and said Brenda, this would be a five brain movie.
Yes.
I don't care if anything else would happen. If one of them just says Brenda.
Yes. But the daughter starts screaming when they find the lampreys, and apparently it can be heard at her parents' house somehow. She only snuck away maybe to the next house.
Asylum plays with the laws of sound
A lot, yeah.
in this movie because, and am I crazy? But when the boy was in the attic, Shannon Doherty heard him in the beginning
Yeah.
and somehow wound up in the shower, which I'm not sure how that any of that happened. She wound up in the shower with her clothes on,
Well,
but
because
the
she was
shower.
hiding from them in the place where you have the most access to water.
Right, with water running in the
Yeah.
shower for some reason.
Because, of course, they were getting into the house through the pipe, so the bathroom
Right.
is really the place you want to be.
But like they didn't show how she got into the shower, how she got into the bathroom. The scene before that,
Just needed her pinned down.
she heard him yelling and was like, I believe she even said, I hear you.
Yeah, that's why she was going through the house to find him
Right.
and somehow ended up in the shower.
And then the next thing you know, she's in the bathroom with the shower running.
Yeah. Apparently, the lamprey turned on the water.
And then after that, she could no longer hear him, the boy in the attic, after she got free. So she runs out to the beach and stuff, and just, I mean, they go on this whole like detour there. And I'm like, wait, you heard him, and then you didn't hear him.
Because she had to go to the beach because they set up the thing with him putting his hoodie over the woman's face for no reason.
Right.
So
And
that she
then
would find the hoodie and think he was dead.
just how much reflection do you get off of regular glasses that aren't even held up near a window?
Using my lamp right now, trying to reflect something with my glasses. Not really working too well.
It was like the fucking opening night of a movie or something in Hollywood. And he wasn't even near the window. He was like down too low for to reach the window, yet somehow the light was reflecting.
Off of
It
clear glass, yeah.
was the fucking magic bullet that killed JFK. It reflected off his glasses, up into the window, and then down to the truck outside.
You see, the point of corrective lenses is that light goes through them.
Oh man, I just love I mean, what do you say?
I didn't notice a lot of this. I was just kind of bored by then, but you're right. And this is a rare complaint I have, and I can't nitpick the science this time,
You
so I have to
can't.
find something.
There is no science.
I have to commend them on the science for the eel thing. But I have to nitpick the editing.
There was editing?
Because they'll have the scene going on, and then they'll, for like literally a split second, just switch to B-roll and back.
Right.
One scene they did that like three times. They switched to like the same B-roll three times in one scene when we really didn't need to see the B-roll.
Where was the B-roll of?
Well, the first time I noticed it was when Christopher Lloyd shows up the first time. They show him getting out of his car for like a second and a half, and then they cut back to the scene with the Fish and Wildlife guy.
Oh, okay.
And another scene they did that they showed, something approaching, but they kept flashing back for like literally a split second. It was really more irritating than establishing. You might as well just not show it and have it surprise us.
And my last question here. So I just need to get this straight. The smell of the dead lamprey scares them away.
Actually, that I had no problem with.
But the smell of a liver from a dead lamprey
Attracts
attracts
them.
them.
Okay, yeah, all right. I just want to know how the dog survived all of it.
Actually, that made sense to me because I thought the dog died at first, and
Yeah.
even my
The
notes, I
first time
said,
he goes in the water, you assume he's dead.
seriously, the dog would know there was shit in the water.
That's
I
true.
would have it have steered clear of it.
Dogs can smell everything. He would not have gone anywhere near the water.
Yeah, the dog would have been like, "Fuck this," and would not have, yeah, he probably would have stayed out of the water altogether, but he definitely would have made sure he didn't get his ass killed in the water.
Right.
And then so when I saw the dog coming back, I was like, all right, I can see that.
Oh, and possibly the stupidest thing I've ever seen in an asylum movie is in this movie.
And it hasn't been mentioned yet? I mean, I've mentioned some pretty stupid
It's toward the
things.
end of my notes. It was toward the end of the movie when they
Okay.
were trying to come up with the big plan to kill off the lamprey.
Oh.
Fish and Wildlife guy, because I can't remember the character's name and I have no idea the actor's
I
name and I
can't
don't really care to
remember either.
remember. The main character points out that water runs downhill. That's in the script. They felt the need to point out that water runs downhill.
Hadn't thought of that, but you're right. And the way he has to, like, he talks about it like it's for his scientific
Yeah.
knowledge.
It's something that they would need to know that they wouldn't realize on their own.
And they're nodding along with it.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, this movie killed me.
And just one last point, of course, I smell sequel.
I don't know. I don't think.
And end of the movie, you have this, cleanup worker who, and the dog approaches too, so the dog, survived. He shooes the dog away. Next thing, there's this tentacle that comes out of a manhole, pushes the manhole. Actually, I don't think it's a tentacle. I just think it's the head of a lamprey.
Yeah, I
Goes
think it's a
around his
larger
leg,
lamprey.
presumably, bites onto him.
Yeah, and
And
then
it's a
he's
big
dead.
one. Apparently, they've grown somehow.
Right. I mean,
There was toxic waste under the city or something.
I think, I don't think Asylum really knows how to end a movie. I think it's been a problem they've had in the past too,
True,
where it's
true.
just like they run out of film and they're just like, okay, that's it. I mean, I know they film it digitally. It's a figure of speech. They run out of film.
They run out of budget.
Yeah. They film until they've got the budget, and then they just stop. Yes, I know the family was leaving, but I mean, why would the family have left? Why would you think that that plan would kill all of them in one shot?
Honestly, I didn't even think they were gonna bother killing them. I thought they were just gonna evacuate everybody and that was gonna be it. Let them take the town. Because they don't even get to that plan till the very end.
Right. And the whole heroics at the end too. Like, why, who would be that stupid? I mean, even if, okay, say that the whole thing about the smell of the dead liver, does attract them, and you just dropped a bunch of things down into a pit. You don't go down in the pit.
And this isn't in my notes, but I just have to ask, what happened to Zach Ward's career? He was on Titus. He could have gone somewhere.
I don't know.
He's been in Postal. He's in this. He was in the second Blood Rain movie.
Well, you know what? Maybe he's just making enough money off the Christmas Story money. Maybe he's getting those royalties from that. I don't, I mean, who knows?
He's not a bad actor. He could get better work. But he keeps doing this shit.
It did seem kind of weird having him in this, where he was, I mean, the sensitive,
And
guy and
I mean,
everything and
I can get Postal because Postal is not a job you take for the money. Postal is a job you take so, to say you were in Postal.
Yeah.
But this and Blood Rain, the second Blood Rain movie, which is the one we skipped.
Well, my guess is he just loves these kind of movies.
Maybe he just loves bad movies, yeah. So
I mean,
he.
that would be the only thing I could think of.
All right, I'm done with my notes.
Yeah, I said I was done with mine too.
We covered sequels and remakes a bit. There's a bit of a nice little sequel at the end. Who knows if they'll actually make one?
Yeah, it's, I don't know if there was well, I mean, this with the demand, with the interest that's shown from the soup, I think
Yeah.
they could possibly go for one. I don't know what they would do.
I think it was a lack of hype. Because, with the, I think the soup was trying to do a Sharknado on this and plug it the way Siffy plugged Sharknado.
Well, it really it's just the one scene.
But I think they were trying to build buzz for it and get it attention.
And the one scene is definitely worth the price of admission.
Yes. All right, on to brains.
On the brains.
As you just said, I have in my notes, that scene is worth the price of admission. As is Marcy, Rachel Chu's character's death in the truck. And actually, now that you mention it, there is some really brilliant stupidity in this movie. So I'm actually going to go up by a half and say 3.5.
I don't know if Asylum has worn me down because this is our ninth Asylum film.
Oh, wow.
Before we did the show, we took a look back at some of the other Asylum
I
movies that we've
forgot the
done.
trilogy.
And so I don't know if Asylum's worn me down or if just the stupidity mixed with the actual, story of the Asian carp you used just really drew me in. But I enjoyed the hell out of this. I'm actually going to recommend this
Oh,
one.
wow.
It's really, it's so terrible, it's good. Even just the Christopher Lloyd scene, but that sequence I said, I'm telling you, watch that sequence again, John, where she dies and they're just like, they're just standing around
Oh, I
and then
remember it well. I just,
casually driving
yeah,
away
that
after
part didn't
that.
strike me at the time. I will have to watch that scene again.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
And I
There's
think I
this
have to
whole
watch the end again too, just to see how hilariously bad that was.
urgency and there's this whole swarm and they're so bloodthirsty that they would attack this car. But these two guys, who cares? When he buckled his seatbelt up, like they didn't, there was no urgency to escape the swarm. It was just, they were purposely acting as slow as possible. So yeah, I'm giving this 4 because
All right.
I cracked me the hell up.
And what have we learned?
It helps to wear a disco ball on your face.
And I learned that lamprey bites look nothing like hickeys. They kept referring to them as hickeys throughout the film. Hence our title as well.
Yeah.
We didn't explain that. All right, so until next week, when we'll be, well, and now for something completely different, reviewing Silent Running, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. You also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review. 217 to 18, somewhere in there at this point. You also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. And of course, the recommendations list. This came within half a brain. I'm shocked.
And it was you that didn't put it through.
Yeah, for once. You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged,
You can go
414-368-9861.
fuck yourself.
Did I say ZTO1 the first time?
I don't know. They can still go fuck themselves.
And of course, always remember that you will always be coming from the middle of Milwaukee, and until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
Does that look like a hickey to you, sir?
Stop recording, because The oh, I had the Heineken thing.
Okay.
They started shipping to America within the same week after the end of Prohibition.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I was way late. I don't know why I didn't see them promoted. And even if you look back at old ads, you never see Heineken. You only see, you see other brands. You never see Heineken until like the 80s.
I don't
That's, I guess that was the big push. That's when they went big.
know. Yeah.
All right. See you next week. How am I gonna get out of this? All right. Well, talk to you next week. I guess that'll be it. I've never know how to get out of those things. These little tack things we do when we tack stuff on.